From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Young Edward Snowden gave himself the codename Verax, Latin for truth teller, and went to the media with top state secrets on U.S. government surveillance programs. Went ultimately to Glenn Greenwald, lawyer, blogger, journalist for The Guardian. Now Snowden's holed up in Hong Kong. Greenwald's there, too, at the center of a storm over national security, secrets, and civil liberties, the Constitution. This hour on Point, we talk with Glenn Greenwald, the man who took the story from Edward Snowden, Verax. Joining us now from Hong Kong is lawyer, blogger, author, and journalist Glenn Greenwald. As a columnist for The Guardian, he broke the story of NSA surveillance of phone calls and internet activity. And yesterday, he broke the story of who leaked the NSA's secrets and that the leaker, Edward Snowden, is in Hong Kong awaiting whatever comes next. Glenn Greenwald joins us now from Hong Kong. Glenn, thanks very much for being here. Welcome back to On Point.
Thanks for having me.
Is there any sign we're hearing there may be an investigation, there may be prosecution of Edward Snowden? Is there any sign of that in Hong Kong at this point?
Not that I can see. I would be shocked if the U.S. government didn't end up investigating and prosecuting. It has a serious history of investigating and attacking anyone who blows the whistle on their secret conduct, but I haven't seen any signs of it in Hong Kong.
In the days since you first got this information from Edward Snowden and the days since it was published, and we've all seen it, have you learned anything new? We've got Silicon Valley companies, Google, Facebook, saying, no, we don't allow the NSA to tap right into our servers and scoop all this stuff up. What are you talking about? What about that, Glenn?
Well, first of all, the first story that we published was one that said that the NSA was collecting all of the phone records of all Americans on U.S. soil without any regard to wrongdoing of any kind, and that they were doing so under the aegis of a secret court order obtained as a result of a secret interpretation of the Patriot Act that two Democratic senators say is warped and extremist, and nobody of anywhere can test the accuracy or validity of that story. As far as the second story is concerned, which is the one that you just referenced, there are NSA documents that we published that claim that there are collection on the part of the NSA direct from the servers of those nine large internet companies. While the internet companies issued a denial of that story, which we prominently included in our story, it was a very semantic and strained denial. They had clearly coordinated their language. And in follow-up reporting, the NSA said there were extensive negotiations between the government and Silicon Valley about exactly what kind of access to their servers the government would get. So whatever the discrepancy is between the two sides, the government and Silicon Valley, that discrepancy was the story, and we want that to be publicly discussed and resolved so that the public knows exactly what the government is doing with all of these servers. And I can talk about the other stories that we've published as well, if you'd like.
We'll look at those. The president came out late last week after his meeting with Xi Jinping, the Chinese leader in California, and said, come on, this is modest intervention. There are trade-offs here. You can't have 100% national security and 100% civil liberties, words to that effect. Modest, trade-offs, reasonable. What do you say to that, Glenn?
It's hard to imagine how you can have more extremist surveillance than a program that targets every single American, regardless of wrongdoing. And that program in particular that we reported on isn't one where the government goes in and listens to phone conversations. It's one where the government collects the metadata, so-called metadata, about with whom you communicate and how long. And there are telecommunications and surveillance experts who have said, both in the New York Times and the New Yorker this week, that metadata is even more invasive than being able to listen to your calls. It enables people to know who your network is of friends and associates, with whom they are then communicating, where you are when you speak. It can let people know, are you gay or straight? Do you have an alcohol problem? Where is it that you go? How long do you stay there? With whom do you communicate and for how long? So the fact that the government is massively collecting indiscriminately this huge database of our communication behavior is something that President Obama now can say seems modest, but back in 2006 when the Bush administration got caught doing it, both he and Joe Biden were indignant that collecting this kind of indiscriminate data about innocent Americans was far, far over the line. And I think they were right then, and I think that's still the case.
Glenn Greenwald joins us from Hong Kong. He broke the story for The Guardian. He is there where Edward Snowden is now, at the center of a huge international storm. Director of National Intelligence James Clapper has been talking about this in the last few days since these big revelations. Here he was, Glenn, from an interview with MSNBC on Saturday, saying grave damage has been done to U.S. intelligence capabilities. Clapper.
I think we're very, very concerned about it. For me, it is literally, not figuratively, literally gut-wrenching to see this happen because of the huge, grave damage it does to our intelligence capabilities.
Glenn Greenwald, there's the director of national intelligence. Gut-wrenching, grave damage to our national security, sort of nation-at-risk talk. What about that, Glenn?
I hope everybody realizes how much of an insult it is to the intelligence of everybody at whom those comments are directed. Every single time the secret acts of the government are exposed and revealed by whistleblowers or by media outlets over the last five decades, the U.S. government has used the same playbook, which is to claim that national security has been jeopardized, to attack the whistleblowers and the journalists for allowing terrorist attacks. Basically, the tactic is to scare the American people into believing that unless they vest the power in the government to do whatever they want without any accountability, any transparency, completely in the dark, that they're all going to be endangered. I defy anybody to look at any of the stories that we published over the last week and explain how national security could possibly be harmed. The terrorists, the so-called terrorists, have known forever that the U.S. government wants to read their emails and listen to other telephone conversations. Nobody needed, the terrorists didn't need us and our articles for them to know that. Any terrorist that doesn't know that the U.S. government is trying to surveil their communications is a terrorist who can't even write his own name out, let alone detonate a bomb effectively inside the United States. What has been damaged is not national security. What has been damaged by these revelations is the reputation and the credibility of the people in power who are building this massive spying apparatus completely in the dark and with no accountability. And that, I think, is so crucial to understand, is that what these top secret designations are designed to do is not keep information from the terrorists or from our adversaries. It's to keep information from the American people about what their own government is doing to them. And it's our job as journalists to expose exactly that information so that people can understand what those in power are doing.
Dianne Feinstein, a Democrat, a California senator, went down this list of terrorist threats that she said the PRISM program, the big program implemented under the 08 FISA Amendments Act, had helped disrupt. And she talked about the new plots to bomb the New York Federal Reserve, the U.S. Capitol, locations in Tampa, Florida, troops returning from combat overseas, the Saudi ambassador in the United States, and right on down. Eight or nine of these, she said, look, these were disrupted because we had this capacity. Are you saying no, Glenn Greenwald?
Yes, and I am saying no. And this shows you how identical so many Democrats and Republicans are. When the New York Times revealed in 2005 that the Bush administration was spying on American citizens, listening to our phone calls without the warrants required by the criminal law, Alberto Gonzalez, who was the attorney general at the time, came out and threatened to criminally prosecute the New York Times, and they made all kinds of similar claims, that this program was vital to catching the terrorists, that it had disrupted all sorts of plots. The reason that was so deceitful at the time was because nobody contests the right of the government to go and use all the The program that was revealed then wasn't a program about eavesdropping on terrorists. It was a program directed at all Americans. And that is exactly the same as what our stories have revealed.
Glenn, stand by. Your phone line is getting a little wanky on us. We'll try and get a better connection. Here's tape while we work on that of Edward Snowden, former contract employee of the CIA, of the NSA. Here talking about what he saw and didn't see, his view of what was going on from inside.
When you're in positions of privileged access, like a systems administrator for these sort of intelligence community agencies, you're exposed to a lot more information on a broader scale than the average employee. And because of that, you see things that may be disturbing, but over the course of a normal person's career, you'd only see one or two of these instances. When you see everything, you see them on a more frequent basis, and you recognize that some of these things are actually abuses.
Glenn Greenwald in Hong Kong, sorry, we were beginning to lose you there. How would you describe, how does Snowden describe his motivation coming forward with all this information?
I think his motivation is extremely clear in the following way. If you're somebody like him who has access to enormous numbers of top secret documents, there are all sorts of things you could do with them. You could sell them and enrich yourself for the rest of your life to foreign intelligence services. You could give them to America's enemies covertly and expose all sorts of covert operatives and covert programs. He did none of that. What he did was sacrifice and risk his own liberty and his own life, really, to benefit the public good. No benefit to him, only a benefit to the public good. And he has been very consistent from the beginning of our interaction about the only thing he wanted to achieve, which was to make Americans aware of what the surveillance state is and to trigger a rational, informed debate about whether or not we want to have our government doing these things.
Is he prepared to go to jail? Are those the stakes now, Glenn, for Snowden?
He certainly knows that going to prison for decades, if not the rest of his life, is a very possible outcome if he ends up in the clutches of the United States government. And even if he doesn't, he, as he put it, all of my options are bad options. And that was the risk that he knowingly took in order to inform his fellow citizens.
Glenn Greenwald is with us, blogger, journalist, the man who broke the wave of stories on U.S. government surveillance, the man who took the leak from CIA NSA-tied worker Edward Snowden. Greenwald is with us from Hong Kong this hour. We're going to dive right on into the issues here, to what we know, to what we don't. Glenn, please stand by there. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with blogger, journalist Glenn Greenwald, the man who broke the wave of stories on U.S. government surveillance, the man who took the leak from CIA NSA-tied worker Edward Snowden about security, civil liberties, and the surveillance state. He joins us from Hong Kong, where Snowden is also holed up right now, flew there from Hawaii to try to get somewhat outside the reach of U.S. law as these huge leaks came into public view. Greenwald was fundamentally instrumental in getting those out to the world. Washington Post then, and Guardian, of course, with Glenn publishing what many might have thought was going on, but then a whole lot more detail and some programs that people really did not know existed. Edward Snowden talking about what he could do from inside the NSA.
Not all analysts have the ability to target everything, but I, sitting at my desk, certainly had the authorities to wiretap anyone from you or your accountant to a federal judge to even the president if I had a personal email.
And here's the president on Friday defending the federal programs.
When it comes to telephone calls, nobody is listening to your telephone calls. That's not what this program's about. As was indicated, the intelligence community is doing is looking at phone numbers and durations of calls. They are not looking at people's names, and they're not looking at content.
Glenn, they're not looking at names. They're not listening to the content. So what's the problem, says the President of the United States?
First of all, it is the easiest thing in the world, once you gather all of that metadata, to understand exactly to whom it's connected. It makes no sense to say, on the one hand, as the president did, that, oh, this program is very necessary for us to stop terrorists and find out who it is who's plotting against us, and on the other hand, say, oh, don't worry, this program doesn't actually tell us anything about anyone in particular. The NSA has voluminous records attaching people to all sorts of the telephone numbers that they're collecting these records on. Additionally, his claim that nobody is listening to your telephone calls is just baffling. The entire purpose of the new law that they passed in 2008 that he as a senator voted for was to gut the old 30-year-old FISA law that had for a long time restricted the government's ability to eavesdrop on telephone conversations, and instead say that whenever the NSA has a call that is someone in the United States and somebody outside of the United States, they no longer need a FISA warrant, an individual warrant, to go and eavesdrop on that call or read that email. The only time they need warrants is when it's one American talking to another American on U.S. soil. So the entire purpose of the NSA, or one of its major purposes, is to enable interception of emails, online chats, and telephone calls, and they do that all the time.
Go to the core constitutional issue here. Back in 07, Barack Obama was sharply critical of the George W. Bush administration. He said they were making a false choice between the liberties we cherish and the security we provide. That was Barack Obama then. Now President Obama says we have to make trade-offs here. What's your lawyer, what's your constitutional critique of what's going on, Glenn?
This is, I think, the most interesting thing is the ACLU and other organizations have been trying for years now to go to court and to obtain an adjudication as to whether the spying system is in fact constitutional. And every time they've gone into court, the government has not gone into court and defended the constitutionality of what they're doing. Instead, the government goes into court and they raise all sorts of reasons why the court shouldn't even decide that question, because it's too secret, because nobody can say for sure that they're actually being eavesdropped on, and therefore nobody has standing to sue and obtain an adjudication. And as a result, the question of constitutionality, which all sorts of law professors and scholars and surveillance experts have raised serious doubts about, has never even been heard in a court because the government doesn't let it. It is clearly a serious issue that there's all sorts of surveillance going on with no warrants being issued, given what the Fourth Amendment says, that there shall be no searches and seizures, unreasonable searches and seizures, and that no search warrant shall issue except upon a finding of probable cause. I believe that it's unconstitutional.
You're breaking up a little bit on us again here, Glenn. Let me begin to bring our callers in. We'll try and fix that up. Let me get Jimmy in Columbia, South Carolina. Jimmy, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Okay, what do you think?
This is unbelievable. This is Watergate 100,000 times over, and we impeached the president over that. Furthermore, when this information has been collected, gets sold, and it will get sold to corporations at some point in time, I'm a Verizon customer. I'm talking to you now just because I've called you and spoke against this. Now I'm not a patriot. I'm not a good American. So, and that's the future, the reality of all this, I believe. One more thing, and then I'll let you go. This man that came forward is a hero, and we all owe him a debt of gratitude.
Jimmy, but let me ask you, the president says, James Clapper, the head of national intelligence, says, we need this for American national security, and if you don't think there are threats out there, you're not paying attention. We need this, they say.
Yeah, we need this if they're following the Constitution and the proper protocols for our liberties. They had 11 people fly planes into the tower, and they didn't. They knew the data already, and they didn't get it through metadata, and they still didn't use it properly. And look what happened.
Jimmy, I appreciate your call. One more right here. We'll go to Glenn, and then we've got Stephen Bucci, who's going to defend this with us today. Art in New Orleans. Art, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I agree with your previous caller that this Snowden is an American hero. This man needs to be applauded. He knew there would be severe consequences for what he did, but he knew it was the right thing to do, and he did it. It paints a really disturbing picture of how the Obama administration has actually navigated the civil rights questions of our time. I mean, their administration has not closed Gitmo. Their administration passed around a memo trying to codify their right to assassinate Americans with drones, and then they come out with this surveillance network. This paints a really disturbing picture to pretty much everyone. I mean, I'm a liberal. I'm a supporter of Barack Obama. But I can't get over this. This is too much. He should not have allowed this.
Art, we've got it, and I appreciate your call from New Orleans. Glenn Greenwald in Hong Kong. There's Jimmy. There's Art. They're both very disturbed about this. But let me just, here's William Salatin writing in Ceylon, and this was on the first tranche of your reporting on the phone surveillance, and the headline is, "Stop freaking out about the NSA. It isn't Orwellian. It's limited. It's supervised." He says, come on, it isn't wiretapping. It is judicially supervised. It is congressionally supervised. It expires unless it's reauthorized. Settle down. Stop freaking out.
He doesn't actually know what he's talking about, and I'll just give you a really good example that demonstrates why that is. There are two senators, Democratic senators, very loyal to President Obama and the Democratic Party, Ron Wyden of Oregon and Mark Udall of New Mexico, who have been going around the country for three straight years in every venue that they can find, warning people that the Obama administration has adopted extremist and radical interpretations of the Patriot Act and has caused those interpretations in comes from the law to what they call strictly interpretation, they are saying, and these are their words, that Americans would be burned.
Yeah, boy, Glenna, I'm so sorry, but we're just, your line is coming in and out, and it's really just gotten beyond us there. Here's a little more from Edward Snowden there in Hong Kong with you, talking about the state of affairs.
Even if you're not doing anything wrong, you're being watched and recorded, and the storage capability of these systems increases every year consistently by orders of magnitude, to where it's getting to the point you don't have to have done anything wrong. You simply have to eventually fall under suspicion from somebody, even by a wrong call. And then they can use the system to go back in time and scrutinize every decision you've ever made.
Edward Snowden there from video put up by The Guardian. He's in Hong Kong. So is Glenn Greenwald. Glenn's with us, but we're getting a fresh phone line, I hope, with him right now. You can hear his defense of the reporting and the leak that's come out here. Let me get some pushback here. Stephen Bucci is with us. He's director of the Foreign Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation, expert on cybersecurity there. Was Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Homeland Defense under Donald Rumsfeld in the Pentagon, formerly Deputy Director of the IBM Institute for Advanced Security. Stephen Bucci, thank you very much for being with us.
It's my pleasure to be here, Tom.
So, you know, Americans are listening to James Clapper say grave damage and threat here. They're listening to the President of the United States say, you've got to make some trade-offs, and these are unfortunate but acceptable trade-offs. And then our leaker and Glenn Greenwald, blogger, reporter, saying, and as he points out, some very prominent senators saying, this is way over the line and we've got big problems constitutionally. How do you see what's going on, Stephen?
Well, while I'd have to congratulate Glenn on getting a big scoop here, this will definitely burnish his reputation around the world. But I have to tell you, doing the analysis and looking at these, there's been a big problem with subsequent reporting and coverage on this, where they're conflating the two programs. They're looking at the PRISM program, for instance, which is U.S. or non-U.S. only. It's based on specific requests that require a court order to get the information. It's not direct, unlimited access to the company's servers. Requests are made of the companies under court order to get specific information on non-U.S. personnel. That's pretty well, you know, legitimate use of the authorities. The other program, the so-called collection of metadata, that initial data that's collected is totally anonymized. It's just a bunch of numbers with lines between them. And then once a pattern emerges, they get additional specific court orders. They cover it before they can ever look down into that system. So I have to agree with the excerpt you read from the one column that this is the most oversight-laden program I've ever seen. You had complete buy-in from the legislature, complete buy-in from the federal court system. This is not government gone wild. Now, I can agree there's a debate that needs to go on now, and clearly we're going to have it. But, you know, there's been a whole bunch of senators, not exactly wild-eyed, you know, Orwellian types, you know, Dianne mm-hmm. Feinstein, people like that, who've said, look, we knew about this, we followed this, we understood it, and we think it's the right thing to do. So just claiming that two senators were against it doesn't mean like that. You know, somehow the administration, two administrations, frankly, have crammed this down anybody's throat.
Glenn, if I may, Stephen, I'm glad you're with us. Glenn, you hear the pushback there. It's not direct access. It's not unlimited access. It works on specific court orders. The metadata is anonymous. It's not got names attached. It's, you know, this is covered, backed up by the legislature, the Congress, the courts, and PRISM, the NSA sort of big sweep of online data is only aimed at non-U.S. actors. What do you say, Glenn?
It's bizarre that he can claim to know how much is going on inside the National Security Agency, how it's all these pristine procedures that everybody stays on the right side of the line that the law tells them to stay on, when that agency is completely covered with all sorts of secrecy. even as I was saying before the phone line went out, the two Democratic senators, my point was not simply that they object. It's that they were constrained even to bring to the floor or to the public the concerns that they had because they barely are able to learn anything about what the NSA is doing. And the little that they do know that alarmed them so much, they were unable by law even to talk about it, let alone to do anything about it. So this congressional oversight is completely impotent and symbolic. We had this lesson 35 years ago when the Church Committee investigated what happens when institutions are permitted to eavesdrop in secret without anyone looking over their shoulder. And what they found is that the nature of human beings is that they will inevitably abuse that surveillance power. They will eavesdrop for improper reasons. And there's evidence of abuse inside the NSA, even as given as secret as it is. Our source in that video and in interviews talked about how sitting at his desk, he had the opportunity and the power to invade anybody's email or anybody's telephone conversation that he wanted to simply by entering it at the terminal, and there was virtually no oversight of any kind. Yes, there are legal constraints that have been placed into law by Congress, and the court, once every 6 months in secret, reviews what the procedures are, but there is nobody checking to see which individual telephone communications, which conversations, which emails are being read. And the capability of the NSA, and this is the critical point, the capability of the NSA is such that it is eliminating all vestiges of privacy, not just domestically, but globally. Their goal is to make it so that every human behavior, every human conversation is amenable and susceptible to NSA surveillance. There are billions of calls and other forms of communication data they collect every single day. Billions, not just around the world, but specifically in the United States. It has the potential for massive abuse, and it is a system that is beyond any real democratic accountability.
Stephen Bucci, can you imagine the founders looking at this and thinking this is well within what we intended in the Constitution when it comes to privacy? Is the end of privacy coming because of technology here?
Well, if you look at it that way, then you'd have to say, you know, we have an option of either totally eliminating the technology or trying to put some faith in overlapping oversight to try and mitigate this human nature tendency that has been referred to. You know, this is akin to saying, you know, I spent 28 years in the Army. You know, I had the power because I had a weapon in my hand that I could have gone out and killed anybody I wanted to. In the same way Mr. Snowden said, I could have surveilled anyone I wanted to. Does that mean you shouldn't give weapons to the military, you shouldn't give weapons to law enforcement, because there's a possibility that an individual could take it upon themselves to abuse that power, or even a couple of individuals could get together and abuse that power? I think you have to, at some point, have some faith in those multiple layers of oversight. And obviously, Glenn and I disagree on this. I tend to have that faith until there's evidence of a specific unlawful abuse, at which time you take action against the people involved. In this case, you know, when you have all three parts of the government involved in this, that's about as good as you can get in the oversight realm. And since we all agree there is an honest-to-God threat out there from terrorism, you can't just sit back and say, well, because it might be abused at some point, then we're not going to use that ability.
And the charge, you hear Glenn saying it's impotent oversight, it's symbolic oversight.
I would disagree with that.
We'll come back and look at that and much more. Stephen Bucci, please stand by in Washington. Glenn Greenwald with The Guardian and more, please stand by in Hong Kong. We're talking about all that we've learned in the last handful of days about U.S. government surveillance at home and abroad, different stripes. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about all the revelations that have come out in the past few days about surveillance activities of the United States government, the National Security Agency, the NSA, on phones and on the internet. Glenn Greenwald was in the middle of breaking that story. It came, we now know, from 29-year-old Edward Snowden, who is now holed up in Hong Kong. Greenwald is there as well, and he's with us this hour. Stephen Bucci is also with us, been in the Pentagon, been in online security now, director of foreign policy studies at the Heritage Foundation, says we've got to do this as long as we've got good oversight of it. Let me get our callers in here. Rigo in Boston. Rigo, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I can't speak as a security expert, but I am a college student that has taken some security courses, and I find it actually laughable that people in America are surprised that the NSA has such intense monitoring of all our communications. It's pretty much their job.
So do you object to it? Did you presume it even before these leaks and these revelations, Rico?
Well, objecting to it is kind of like trying to object to a rainy day. No government in history that has power has denied themselves power. You know, we created its infrastructure. You know, they're building the largest data center in the history of the world outside of Salt Lake City. And what would you think they're going to do with that?
Yeah, we've reported on that. You can see that report at our website, onpointradio.org. Glenn Greenwald, you've got people who are outraged and others who have just come to think of this as like the weather, like the rain, as Rigo says there. What do you say, Glenn?
I've never realized before that call that the purpose of the United States government is to spy on and monitor and collect data on everything that every citizen does inside the country, including innocent people. The Constitution seems to have a much different idea about that, since it says that there shall be no searches and seizures unless there's reasonable or actually probable cause to believe that somebody is guilty of a crime. The country was founded on the idea that the people in government would have full transparency, that's why they're called public officials, and that we would have complete privacy, which is why we're called private individuals, except in very rare cases when our conduct would be transparent and theirs would be secret. That was supposed to be the state of affairs. That is the hallmark of a free and healthy functioning democracy. And what we've done is completely reverse that. So we know almost nothing about what the government is doing of any significance, while they know everything about what we're doing, which is the recipe for tyranny. And it's particularly surprising to hear someone from a right-wing think tank like the Heritage Foundation, which has always claimed to believe in small government and limited federal powers and the right of individuals to be left alone by government, advocating for a massive, limitless surveillance state where all kinds of data is collected about us, even though we've done nothing wrong. That sounds to me more like East Germany and the Stasi than it does any kind of remnant of an idea of limited and free government.
Stephen Bucci, I want to put that conservative argument to you. Let me put it in the mouth of Rand Paul, Kentucky Republican senator. Here he was on Fox News on Sunday talking about surveillance programs.
I'm going to be seeing if I can challenge this at the Supreme Court level. I'm going to be asking all the internet providers and all of the phone companies, ask your customers to join me in a class action lawsuit. If we get 10 million Americans saying we don't want our phone records looked at, then maybe somebody will wake up and say things will change in Washington.
Stephen Bucci, what is conservative here if this is okay?
Well, this is it's a very difficult point for conservatives, particularly conservatives like those of us at Heritage, who have a very strong emphasis on securing the nation, having the right means to do that. But at the same time, as Glenn correctly noted, we are against huge government. We feel very strongly about civil liberties and the importance of our Constitution and support that. That's why when we dug into this, when this came out, we had an intense internal debate here at Heritage, and based our analysis, not on the emotion of, oh my God, the sky is falling, that, you know, they know every time I sneeze, to, you know, what exactly are they looking at? How are they looking at it? What processes have they followed? And our conclusion was, yes, this is a good time to have this debate. Clearly, there's a lot of emotion and in some cases misinformation out there. We need to get the right, accurate stories out, have that debate in public, have that argument on the floor of the House and the Senate, and decide how we want to go forward.
But to just
throw out the baby with the bathwater, I think that's just unwise.
You said overlapping oversight gives you comfort here. Glenn Greenwald in Hong Kong calls that oversight impotent and symbolic. What about the quality of oversight, legislative oversight, judicial oversight, the quality of it, Stephen?
Well, I think we have full congressional oversight. We have the intelligence committees that have been fully briefed because they do have clearances to receive this. And now how the Congress then gets that out to their other colleagues, that's up to them.
Well, not entirely. It's top secret, so it's hard for them to talk about it, right?
Well, if someone doesn't have the clearance, then no, they don't get the information. But that's why all of the Intelligence Committee members have those clearances, their staffs have those clearances, and can get it. Now, the problem you have is like Mr. Snowden, who had a clearance, like Bradley Manning, who had a clearance, so they had access to this stuff, and then they decide to violate that trust and the oaths that they've taken, regardless of their motivation. That, you know, to be honest with you, they've broken federal law. And so it's not somebody potentially arresting them is not retribution. It's called enforcing the law. And we'll let those cards fall where they may. But we do need to have that oversight. Clearly, we need to have this debate. Again, I congratulate Glenn for getting this out in the open. I wish it hadn't been done with, you know, blatant public leaks like this, but it's out there. So let's have the debate and see which way the country moves.
Glenn, full congressional oversight is there, Stephen says.
Okay, let me just make this one point, which is about what he just said, which is everybody loves to say we should have a healthy debate about this. President Obama said, I welcome the debate. The problem, though, is that there hasn't ever been a debate about these programs, and because it's all shrouded in top secrecy and the government constantly either threatens to prosecute or actually prosecutes anyone who talks about it, there never can be a debate. And so what we have is this completely hypocritical contradiction, which is everybody goes around saying, of course we should have a debate about our surveillance policies. We shouldn't just let the government do it and have us not know about it and not be able to debate it. And yet at the same time, when somebody comes forward like Mr. Snowden and courageously does the only thing there is to do to make us know about it, to let us debate it, they start calling for their heads. He's a traitor. Put him in prison. So it is impossible to have a debate about any of these issues precisely because they're being conducted completely in the dark. Go and look at what we talked about during the presidential election. The fact that we're constructing this sprawling surveillance state and this massive new building and facility in Utah that allow unprecedented levels of spying was never even uttered. The only reason we had a debate about it last week and are having a debate about it now is precisely because Ed Snowden came forward and made us realize and know what it is that the government is doing. That's unfortunately the only way we can have a debate, and that's why whistleblowers like him deserve our gratitude and praise and not our contempt and prosecution and imprisonment.
Well, let me ask you about that. I mean, the NSA has come out sometimes and talked about what they are and are not doing. Here's some tape. This was from March last year. NSA Director then Keith Alexander responding to questions from Congressman Hank Johnson about a Wired magazine story on the NSA's collection of Americans' information. He's asking about, do you do this, do you do that? You'll hear the NSA Director's answers.
Does the NSA routinely intercept American citizens' emails?
No.
Does the NSA intercept Americans' cell phone conversations?
No.
Google searches?
No.
Text messages?
No.
Amazon.com orders?
No.
Bank records?
No.
Glenn, there's a series of denials. What about those in light of what we've now learned?
They're absolutely false. And the evidence of how false the NSA has been with the Congress was demonstrated by the last story that we wrote, which is that senators have been asking the NSA for years to give them just a rough estimate of how many telephone calls and emails of Americans they intercept and read. And the NSA kept saying, we don't have the capability to tell you that. They were before the committee, the Senate Intelligence Committee, a year ago, and Senator Wyden said, are you collecting data on millions of Americans? And the director of the NSA, General Alexander, said, absolutely not. Not only did we reveal that they are doing exactly that which they denied, which is collecting data on millions of Americans, but we publish the extremely precise metrics that the agency assembles that shows exactly the number of communications that they're intercepting and the origin of country where those conversations are. And so you have continuous false claims being made by the NSA to Congress, which is the oversight that we keep hearing about, and yet very few people in Congress, or in fact nobody in Congress, is really able to do anything about it because they don't have access to the data that would enable them to understand what's actually taking place inside the agency. That's why Mr. Snowden gave it to us, and that's why we've been publishing and will continue to publish it.
Let's go to Amber, calling from Boston. Amber, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi, Tom. I really think the level of conversation with this is getting really crazy. I mean, your guest is practically like foaming at the mouth about how angry he is about this this information being taken by the government. But, you know, we don't live in the GDR. This is not East Germany. We have a system of checks and balances. We are not living in a situation where the government is trying to spy on us every minute of the day and do something crazy with that information.
What were you thinking? You're hearing paranoia in the concern about it, Amber?
Yeah, this is crazy, like the level of suspicion in our government. I mean, the government is there to help us and to make our society better. And to think that we're going to, like, they're going to do something horrible with this information is really, like, crazy. And frankly, this information is collected every single day by corporate America. And every single day, my stuff online is tracked and is totally taken out of context. And I know that corporate America tracks every single thing that I do. So why isn't this level of conversation the same about corporate America as it about government?
Amber, I'll ask about that, but let me. You're saying you've got more trust than you're hearing in some of this response to the reports in the government. But
absolutely, I do. I think people just need to like take it down a couple notches.
But should it depend on trust? I mean, doesn't the Constitution require that the government act in certain ways? Take the Fourth Amendment. There it stands. You know. It's not supposed to just be based on trust. It's supposed to be based on actual behavior, isn't it?
That's fine, though, because we have a system of checks and balances. I can take it to the courts. I can take it to all levels of government. If I'm uncomfortable with something that was taken on me and data that was taken on me, I can take it to a different level to have it denied and to have that system, that knowledge taken away and not be able to be used.
I'll take it to my guest, Amber. I appreciate your call. Glenn Greenwald, settle down. Too paranoid. Have a little faith.
The historical ignorance necessary to think that is really quite stunning to me. And I would just really, I would respectfully suggest that the caller or anybody who thinks that way go right now to google.com and go and enter the Church Committee and Martin Luther King and find out what happens when the American government, I know it's shocking, but even Americans in power, what they do when they have surveillance power that is not sufficiently checked, they abuse it systematically. That's what happened, not in East Germany or other bad, distant countries, but right here in the United States of America, because human beings are human beings, and that is human nature. And our entire country is based on a mistrust of political power that is exercised without the necessary checks on making sure that power is not abused. And secrecy is the antithesis of constraint and check and limitation. Secrecy is what breeds abuse of power by the very nature of what it means to be human. So it's really nice to be able to think that because we live in the United States, a country that is immune to these kinds of abuses, that we don't have to worry. But all you have to do is look at the history of the country to see how ridiculous that is.
Here's Dave writing to us online, says, what does Mr. Greenwald think the NSA and or CIA should be allowed to do? He's concerned about security.
Right. Well, one of the things that I believe in is the Constitution and the Fourth Amendment. So I actually believe that if the NSA has evidence that somebody is involved in a terrorist plot or some other serious crime or working against the United States for a foreign government, they should take that evidence to a court and present it to a court and get a warrant and then go ahead and eavesdrop on those communications. That's how the United States conducted itself for 30 years, ever since the FISA court was the FISA law was enacted in 1978. We were able to conduct the Cold War under that system. We were able to confront all sorts of adversaries under it, and we abandoned it in the name of terrorism, but it worked very well in terms of balancing both security and privacy concerns.
But is terrorism this age different, Glenn? I mean, you had one government official saying, look, with terrorism, you're trying to find a needle in a haystack. And to do that, he said, you need a haystack. That is, a whole lot of the data that's flowing out there.
That's just not how the Constitution works. Otherwise, you know what we should say? We should say to the government, you should put television monitors in all of our homes and have monitoring going on at all times of everything that we're doing. And that way, if anyone does anything wrong, you'll know about it. And if anybody objects, you just tell them, well, look, I mean, in order to catch the needle in the haystack, we have to monitor the whole haystack. The value judgment embedded in the Constitution is that we are willing to incur some risk to our personal safety because there are other values that are just as important, including keeping the shield of privacy around what it is that we do. And I think that's the key thing to recognize. People put passwords on their email accounts. They put locks on their bedroom doors because they understand instinctively what the value of privacy is. Only when you have a private space can you engage in creativity, exploration, all sorts of dissent, challenging orthodoxy without prying eyes and judgmental eyes being passed upon you. And a world in which you lose that privacy is a world that breeds conformity. It's a world that really becomes soulless and deadened. And that's why we always value privacy so much and why the Constitution is designed to safeguard it.
Stephen Bucci, do you have any second thoughts about what you're seeing here? Or, are you really confident in the oversight? Glenn, we can hear, absolutely is not. But do you really sleep just fine at night with what's been revealed, Stephen?
I do sleep well at night because I think our government has made an effort. And believe me, I'm no big fan of the Obama administration, as you might guess, being here at Heritage. And I think there has been other egregious violations. But in the case of this particular set of programs, they have bent over backwards to try and provide that oversight, to not take it to extremes, but to balance our security and our privacy.
Glenn Greenwald, what about you? You helped leak this. Any risk of prosecution?
Well, the government has in the past flirted with the idea that they would prosecute journalists. Eric Holder 10 days ago vowed that he never would. I'm going to take the Constitution at its word that we have the right of the freedom of press and be comfortable in that.
Glenn Greenwald, lawyer, journalist, blogger, broke the story for The Guardian, joining us from Hong Kong, where Edward Snowden is today. Glenn, thank you very much for being with us this hour.
Thank you.
And Stephen Bucci, director of foreign policy studies at the Heritage Foundation, was at the Pentagon with Donald Rumsfeld. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me on the show.
A lot out there to think about. Thank you for being here, listeners. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.